White Aryan Resistance calling. White Aryan Resistance calling. This is White Aryan Resistance, and this is Terrible Tommy, Tom Metzger, right here in the bunker in North Central Indiana, back on December the 19th, 2014, and Freya's Day. This is She-Wolf Day in the bunker, and we got a great song. Actually, it was my mother's favorite song, sort of rock and roll, but she liked this one. Okay, here it goes out to the She-Wolves. Okay. She-Wolves like that one out there. You don't hear that too much. I thought it was a great song. My mama liked that song, but you don't hear it much. And so I hope you like that. I'm going to start singing that karaoke. I went out karaokeing last night, and I got quite a bit of clapping and ovations, man, for my singing, man, because I sang my funny songs. I sang that one, Help Me Make It Through the Yard by Bobby Bear, and then what was that other one? Winner. Yeah, it's about a guy that goes into a bar and wants to fight the toughest guy in the bar. Sort of funny. The crowd liked that last night. My outlaw buddies over here at Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern and Steakhouse and Filling Station over here, where we still sell Ethel and Standard. That's right. We don't care what the other people call it. It's Ethel and Standard. Weather's been pretty nice back here. It gives us time to get back there into the weapons of mass destruction used equipment yard and get some painting done on the new vehicles coming in and those big tanks. It takes a while to paint one of those things. Of course, in the summer, the spring and the fall, when the people are coming in here to buy those things to protect themselves from the government, well, once in a while we get a gal comes in, she wants them pink. And I'll tell you, you ever see a full-size tank pink? I don't know. I keep telling them, I said, you're going to be too easy to spot in that damn thing. Yeah. I want it pink. I'm a women liver. I want it pink. And I say, okay, whatever you want, lady. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana. That's where you send your donations of thousands of dollars. And maybe sometime I can go skiing in the Alps or something, and or go down on the riverboat there on the Ohio and gamble away some money. But so far, I haven't been able to get anybody to do that. So we'll be satisfied with just your $20 for the radio show. You know, this movie they canceled, Sony Corporation canceled. It's sort of interesting because right away I knew what it was. The Sony executives, Japanese, not American. Well, some are American, but they were. They had not seen the film or hadn't got involved in knowing too much about it. Well, when they saw it, they shit their pants because they don't want trouble with North Korea. That's what that was about. Japan's sitting over there with very little defenses because they decided to become pacifists after the Second World War. The way they got the crap beat out of them, I don't blame them. But anyhow, that's what the deal was, and the American conservatives and liberals are arguing about all kinds of other things, but the real fact, the Japanese executives were afraid they're going to get their asses blown off. Yeah, you heard it here. Any of you people out there listen to XM radio, but they've been advertising, like I told you before, to buy an oil well. You got to have $1 million up front, but you can buy your own oil well with an 85% tax rake off. Yeah, right. They're trying to unload these bastards because the oil price is going way down and the whole bit. So they're advertising like hell for Joe Stupid Blow to buy one of these probably dry holes. And so because the big oil companies are sort of getting rid of a lot of their stuff. So if you know anybody's got money like that, you better advise them to keep their money in the bank. Don't go out there and buy one of those damn oil wells. Thank all you boys and girls for sending me some hot tips on the news, because there's a lot of good stuff out there. I can't cover all the bases. So you people have been sending me more good stuff so I can send it out to everybody else. Just don't send me the garbage news, because I'm not interested in that. We want to know about race. We want to know about environment. And we want to know about big deals in the banking business, just as long as it's not too long, okay? Thanks for getting that stuff into me. Hey, for all you people out there been rooting so highly for Putin, I told you I don't trust anybody. I mean, especially people with a lot of money, a lot of power. Don't trust them. Never can trust them. Incidentally, Putin is, guess what he's worth? Guess what Mr. Man of the People's worth? He was a communist for years and in the KGB. Well, now he's got $70 billion in the bank, or maybe more. $70 billions. I never trust a person with that much money. Sorry for you Paki lovers and you Indian dothead lovers. Let me see here. Official suspended Patel's, Rashmi Patel, suspended his license pending a comprehensive review of his practice after Hartford. This is Hartford, Connecticut, a dentist whose patient died after developing complications while getting 20 teeth pulled and several implants installed, will not be allowed to work until after a comprehensive review of his practice. Well, Christ, if they're going to do that all at one time, no wonder he died. The Connecticut State Dental Commission voted 5-0 Wednesday to suspend the license of Dr. Rashmi Patel, who has offices in Enfield and Torrington, after finding that he didn't properly care for two patients, including the woman who died in February. Wow. There you go. Bring him in, set him up, give him these fake medical licenses, and Well, usually what they do is give you a fake medical school or dental school that they went to over in bumfuck India or something like that. And so you end up not knowing what the hell, who the hell's working on you. A lot of these people are getting their medical training at schools down in the Caribbean. That's been going on for a long time. And boy, wow. Bill for that one. Now another one from Bill. He sent me the PDF on this book I'm reading, Founder of Israel, Adolf Hitler, Founder of Israel. So I'll send this PDF along to you if you want to download it, print it out, or whatever. And one of the reasons I'm reading this is because I know how it is. You got plenty of things, other things to do, but you get caught up in your job and everything else, and you just don't have time to read. And so I thought it would be a good idea for, on something pretty hot, for me to read once in a while. It's not because I like to read. I don't like to read, and I'm not a great reader, but, you know, it's the old story. If you're not going to do it, who else is going to do it? Nobody else has done it as far as I know. There's a whole lot of these books that should be on audio. And I think we need readers. I've been yelling about that for years. People got retired or whatever and read pretty good. There's no reason in the world why you can't sit down and read a book into an MP3 file and make it available to everybody. Because you know as well as I do, people tend to be a little lazy and a lot of people don't like to read. So anyhow, that's the story. Thanks, Bill. When I thank somebody for sending something in or give them credit for something, I'm only going to give a little bit of their email and not so much that they can't keep their lone wolf status. So I'm not going to put out their whole email or name or address or anything, okay? Well, here's a little bit of Negro news. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This confirms that Ryan Bolden... Wait a minute. Ryan Bolden, formerly of the Los Angeles Angels, was shot and killed at an apartment complex outside Atlanta, Georgia, on Wednesday evening. Witnesses of Bolden's murder stated that the altercation was prompted by children fighting over candy at an apartment complex in College Park, Georgia. Somehow the adults got involved in the fuss between the children, and an argument escalated into a deadly violence. Bolden was shot and taken to the local hospital, where he later died. Bolden, age 23, had traveled from Mississippi to visit a friend that lived in the apartment complex. Well, that's why you got to watch that fighting over candy, boys. Yeah. Black news, Floyd Mayweather is one of the most talented boxers we've ever seen. And he's always the richest. Also the richest, but he's not always the most well-behaved nigger, at least according to media reports. Mayweather's latest incident took place on Wednesday when the boxer had a run-in with a Saks Fifth Avenue sales lady. According to the police, Mayweather threw a fit when the sales girl didn't allow him to use the restroom that had been reserved for an event and went so far as to call her a bitch. Although Mayweather is not accused of hitting the woman, 23-year-old Alexandra Rice was reportedly so frightened that she called the cops, boy. And too bad they didn't shoot him. Okay. You got to keep it cool, that woman, and don't call. No, I don't know whether she was black or not, but he called her a bitch. Here's a bad Mac Daddy Blackie boy. Father led community on a manhunt to find the daughter's killer. It was him all along. Some stories are so painful to read that they make you sick at your stomach. This is from the Black News. This is clearly one of those times. Mobile County District Attorney Ashley Rich has confirmed that after the police were seeking to determine who killed 8-year-old Hiaway Robinson, it was actually her own father who committed the heinous crime. The girl was found dead on September 8th of this year, leading to a manhunt to determine who committed the horrible act. Police say that not only did the child's father kill her, he also sexually assaulted her in the process. Quote, sodomy is that he, being an adult, engaged in deviant sexual intercourse with a person less than 12 years old, unquote, Rich said. Ever more startling is the fact that the child died during the assault. All of the hands of the man was supposed to be protecting her. Well, there you go. You really want a nigga daddy? I don't think it's safe to have a nigga daddy. Well, Mr. Michael Brown, that got blown away down there in Missouri, is getting more and more complicated with each passing day. The official autopsy, I can't even pronounce it anymore. What am I saying? I'm not drinking. Of the autopsy of the shooting has been released. And it doesn't look good for the protesters. Oh, of course, that won't name matter to those who don't trust the system. And it may be system mistrust that is at the heart of the protest anyway. According to the report, by two experts not involved in the case said that Brown had marijuana in his system at the time of the incident. Additionally, the documents from the St. Louis County Medical Examiner also say that the shooting appeared to be from close range and that there is some degree of evidence that Brown fought the officer in order to take his gun. A source on the case claims that the gun fired twice during the alleged struggle, with one of the shots hitting Brown in the hand, but it was the shots that were fired later that have led to the most controversy. Yeah, okay. Oh, poor boy. You got to go out there and fight with the cops. Make sure if a cop approaches you, you try to take his gun away from him. See what happens. Black radio show guy down in the South someplace, he was on VH1 talking about Mona Scott. He had this girl come on to talk about her in the process. Listen to this. I tell you, it's funny.
Anything that Mona is behind, I know is going to be toxic. I mean, Mona, in my opinion, is just, she is cooning for cash to no end. I mean, it's kind of pitiful at this point.
You hear that? She said she's cooning for cash. Could you imagine a white person saying that? That girl would be cooning for cash. Yeah. Yeah, take her off the radio. Well, I see another 15-year-old Chicago Negro honor student was gunned down in the broad daylight here lately. I'm not going to go into the story, but that's the way Chicago is. Yeah. Well, I guess the South is going to show the Northerners how they do things, man. They get it right. What the grand jury in Ferguson, Missouri, and Staten Island, New York, failed to do, the grand jury in South Carolina did, going against what had previously been the norm about not indicting white police officers for shooting unarmed black men. The decision by the grand jury in South Carolina to indict three white police officers for shooting an unarmed black man is sending a clear message to the world that South Carolina isn't playing. Wow. To bring you up to speed on what happened in South Carolina, former police chief Robert Combs shot and killed Bernard Bailey in the parking lot of the police department in Eatonville, South Carolina. Former state trooper Sean Grubert shot Lever Jones at a gas station near Columbia, South Carolina, while reaching for his driver's license. Probably had a razor blade in it. Public safety officer Justin Gregory Craven fatally shot Ernest State White Sr. after driving all ways during a DUI stop. Well, seems like those boys down South are becoming flip-flop, getting like liberal Northerners or something. They're blowing Negroes away all over the place, man. Well, let's get away from this Negroid stuff. and talk about Uncle Adolf for a while. One question before I read. Now, I think I mentioned this before. Now, if the German plan was not to exterminate all these Jews, and certainly even if they did, there's a very small percentage of the European Jews that were involved, then what were they doing with these concentration camps? Well, maybe they were way stations to gather them all together and then go by train all the way down there to Romania and get them across to Israel. Why would the Zionists make a deal with the SS to get the Jews transferred down there and get them on ships to take them over to Israel? Yeah, you think that they would have stood by that agreement if they knew that they were millions of them being toasted over there in the concentration camps? I don't think so. Something stinks, don't it? And it's not corpses of Jews. Well, anyhow, let's go here. You'll see what I'm driving at as I go along. Incidentally, I got to have that PDF sent to me again on Hitler, the founder of Israel, because I somehow went to send it out and I lost it. Conscientious objector and a war volunteer. Yeah, that's a good place to start. May 1913, Adolf Hitler, a 24-year-old painter and an Austrian conscientious objector, out of persuasion and not out of inclination, came to the art town of Munich, known also as the Athens of the River Saar. He left Vienna because the ground there finally became too hot for him. At the sudden departure, a friend of his mother, the Jewish lady Dr. Lowy, living in Vienna's Schottering elite circle, gave him the money for his journey. At the Registrar Bureau in Munich, he introduced himself as a stateless person. He found a room for rent at Schlagesheimerstrasse with a family of a tailor named Pop. The first evening, the family got information from him about what was going on in Austria-Hungary. Quote, "Just take a look at Colonel Radel, chief of the general staff, a homosexual, a slut, and spy for the Russians. When I left Vienna, this noble man, because of those crimes, shot himself with a bullet into his empty brain." All people at the top of the magnificent Imperial Royal Army are Jews, like Red L. The master of tailors, Joseph Pop, himself being a member of a converted Jewish family, once was working in elegant studios of Paris. "You are right, Mr. Hitler, not to serve such a gang of rabble. Look," Hitler continued, "how long do you think this rotten state can exist? Austria, that mummy, since long ago has ceased to be a German state. She is rotting German culture and its way of life. She commenced actions of destruction, and the socialists and the Jews are the guilty." "Whoa, socialists? I thought you were going to be a national socialist." "And they are the doers in Vienna, once a German capital, together with the Emperor Franz Joseph, who is old and dumb. One evening in the basement of a brewery with white sausage and beer, people gathered for rounds of tireless speeches of an Austrian writer, Lindemann, but Hitler was more oratory. Quote, "Let us consider the unholy treaty of the German Reich and the doomed Austria Hungary. What do you think, gentlemen, what this treaty will do to the German Reich? It will drag you down, gentlemen. Anyone, I tell you, should separate themselves from such an alliance, for what is destined to fall, should be pushed down." Unquote. Every time Hitler gleaned Nietzsche. In the evenings, Hitler walked around well-kept and immaculate. He lived prosperously. Painting for him was the only way of living. he sold a lot of paintings to a respected art dealer at the Maximilianplatz at a price worth their value. Among the 3,000 painters in the city, Hitler was not the worst, but to questions raised by his companions at the brewery cellar about his professional goals, Hitler also always responded shortly, quote, "A goal of my career. There will be war, my friends," unquote. In the afternoon of January 18, 1914, when the day of establishment of the German state was celebrated, Hitler painted the Brandenburger Gate in the watercolors. The detective Hurl climbed up the stairs, almost losing his breath, knocking abruptly at the door of his room with a separate entrance. He surprised Hitler with the unpleasant news. The fugitive must appear within 2 days in Linz. In case of default, you will receive an official warning. As a precautionary measure, two police officers in uniform climbed the stairs also and took the painter away from his easel to the Austrian consulate in Munich. There he had an opportunity to show what he had learned during these 3 years of living in the Vienna men's hostel, i.e. his cunning ability and skill at deception. He stated that there were by no means he is a fugitive, but only a little bit careless as any young artist in training, without any political clout, poor and very sick, as he said that the eyes of the fellow Austrian countrymen moistened. So in effect, they reported back to Austria, according to the statement made by him as it is presented on the enclosed affidavit of justification. And to this office's own impression, all of this is true, and therefore we resign from carrying out his extradition. He was granted a 2-week extension, and because Hitler was a pauper, he was allowed to travel for free to the closest military installation to get a physical, a medical examination. Thus, out of this trick box, the knowledgeable, conscientious objector had pulled quite a lot of with results as he wanted. Quote, "He is unfit for the military and auxiliary services. He is too weak and unable to bear weapons," unquote. That night, the brewery basement saw a happily drinking throng of freshly looking men, and among them was the great artist leading a conversation. Barely half a year later, the First World War broke out, and a completely healthy Hitler, in front of the Hall of Field Masters, swung his hat at the war proclamation, into which thousands of others signed their readiness for a voluntary registration. Hitler instead sent immediately a request to the Bavarian king for permission to serve in the Bavarian regiment, for this jubilation and thankfulness do not know an end, unquote. Next day, he was accepted into the service, thus conscripted to the Austrian army, called by Germans the comradeship of Shoelace, spared him. During the war, Austria-Hungary fell apart as Hitler predicted. Hitler was sure that after the war and after a repudiation of foreigners, the Germanic Austria will unite with the victorious German state, and that the Jews and the socialists treated by him as twins will disappear from the stage. Hitler applauded the war, seeing it as a means of this purpose. "The influence of Judaism upon the people of Germany and Austria shall cease." He favored such a sequence of events, so his happiness grew by the hour. Quote, "The pack of Jewish leaders became abandoned, lonely, and forsaken. The time has come to take action against the Jewish contaminators, trying to install, deceitfully, a society of comradeship. Now someone has to do a quick job on them without the slightest consideration for their cries and complaints. The jabber of the international solidarity shall instantly disappear from the heads of the German working class." Hitler talked to himself with more and more excitement while bundling up his laundry and tying it up with white ribbons at the residence of the Pop family. "The leaders of the whole movement shall be put behind bars right away," Someone shall finish them shortly. Therefore, all means of power should be used for the extermination of this pestilence, unquote. See, it's interesting here that a lot of the people Hitler's dealing with real closely are converted Jews. In other words, they're Jew. If they were a race, they couldn't convert. But it seems that to Hitler here that if a person converted away from being a religious Jew, he's okay. After a few weeks of training with the 2nd Bavarian Infantry Regiment called The Trick, Hitler, with such notions in repertoire and singing patriotic songs in the rain, was tramping across wet turnip fields and hedges and attacking Flanders. After a few days, the well-prepared-for-war regiment was melted down to one-half its strength, and after a few more days, to one-quarter. Quote, maybe the volunteers of the Trick Regiment never learned to fight the right way. They only knew how to die like old soldiers. At the first standstill opportunity, the soldier Hitler was promoted to Lance Corporal and honored with an Iron Cross Second Class. The war was only a few months old. That is how the war continued. The dispatch writer, Hitler soon became an old hare at the regimental headquarters. Officers of the Trick knew Hitler by name. To the non-commissioned officers and comrades, his relentless reading was dubious. In written speeches, he laid down the reasons which caused the war. The Jews and the Austria-Hungary government were the guilty ones. The sooner the Jewish covenant will be broken, the better it will be for the German nation, with Austria's people combined. Surrendering of the Habsburger monarchy is not at all a sacrifice when, through it, the Germany reaches a confinement limitation of its opponents. We have not put the steel helmets on our heads for the preservation of the abominable dynasty, but for the rescue of the German nation from these Jewish international apostles of equality. Often comrades contradicted him out of defiance, but often only excited him. What do you want? He then yelled back. The war has to be run, otherwise the world will become a big storehouse which will belong to the Jews, and which Germans at best would be bookkeepers only. The former commander of the Trick, Colonel Spatny, issued this judgment, quote, the constantly restless and sharp front line in the northern France and Belgium, along with the regiment, acted in regards to self-sacrifice and personal courage, has put great demands upon every member. In this respect, Hitler, to his camaraderie, was an ideal example. His exemplary model-like behavior in all tactical situations has made a powerful effect on the regiment. On account of this and the connection with his nature and his admirable personal modesty, he enjoyed a great attention of his superiors as well as those equal in rank. When nobody wanted to run anymore, with the reports through the heavy fire to those front persevered companions, Hitler always volunteered. It was a rule that with important reports, two men had to go, for only one might make it. Before Hitler came to power, his one-time assignee, Lance Corporal Brandmeier, nicknamed him the partner, recalled, quote, I just sat down next to Hitler. There was a direct hit in the middle of the hallway. The ceiling dashed and tore into 1,000 pieces. The splinters splattered everywhere into the distance. Paralyzed by the shock, I still wasn't aware of what terrible thing just had happened. And when I came to myself again, I saw how Hitler salvaged 7 injured and 4 dead bodies. And that's how it was with these reports which had to get to the front. We jumped from one shell crater to another. Pieces of exploded material and dirt mercilessly showered down on us. My nerves failed. I wanted to stay there where I was laying. Then Hitler talked to me kindly and gave me words of encouragement, saying that one day our heroism will be rewarded 1,000-fold by our fatherland. The shortage of non-commissioned officers was felt strongly from year to year. Hitler never became a non-commissioned officer in the 6 years' time of civil service. Later, some officer had stated, quote, Hitler doesn't have any leadership qualifications, unquote. And surely this was not right. The war didn't bring what Hitler had hoped for, the elimination of Judaism in Germany. In the beginning of 1915, he wrote to his friend, Assessor Hepp, in Munich, quote, I think about Munich many times. Each one of us had only one wish, and that soon it would come to the final reckoning with this gang. Should the gang perish, it won't cost anything. Those of us who will be lucky to pass through and see their homeland again will find it cleaner, cleaned up more for foreign exotic. Through the daily sacrifices and sufferings which hundreds of thousands of us have endured, through the daily stream of blood which flows here daily against the worldwide enemies, and not only of Germany, they will be smashed, but with them will be also be broken those within the forces of international communism that would be worth more than the victory of our entire country. With Austria, this will come to pass, come as I have always said. In 1916, Hitler was badly wounded in the thigh by an enemy fire as he volunteered. To deliver a report to the front line through heavy shooting. In a military hospital in Bielitz near Berlin, he discovered some changes in the country being tired of the war. In no way would the heroism of the front soldiers be rewarded a thousandfold, as he had promised to his partner. The wounded Hitler, as he later said, was thinking about the whole trick of fate that kept him at the front in a situation in which one accidental trigger pulled by a Negro could kill me. Although I did serve my fatherland at many different locations and many various kinds of services. By giving speeches, he shook up and excited masses, for he was capable of doing that. And his special sort of a service was his imagination. But among 8 million soldiers, he was an unknown man. Over all of it, better to keep a mouth shut and do the duty at any post as best one could do. During his time, the recovery, Hitler relied mostly on advice of the Jewish physician, Dr. Stettiner, especially when he looked for confirmation of the soldier's handbook from which he taught himself the military art in any regiment battle position. Once the Jewish physician came to Hitler's bed and amazingly pronounced, I thought you were more reasonable. Thanks to this helper of the suffering creatures, Hitler found a confirmation of his point of view about decomposing strength of all Jews. In reality, the pacifist Dr. Stettiner divided human beings only into two groups, those who cause wounds and those who have to heal them. According to Hitler's memoirs, the offices of the hospital were occupied by the Jews. Almost every scriber was a Jew, and every Jew was a scriber. The disgust crept up in his throat, and that's why he asked for a permission to return hardly healed to his regiment at the front. A typical Jew, Lieutenant Hugo Guttmann, there was one who handed Hitler the Iron Cross first class, but Guttmann, Hitler's partner, Brandemeyer, had this to say, quote, as an adjutant of the regiment's Lieutenant Eicheldorfer, I was also functioning many times as a substitute for Hugo Guttmann, the Lieutenant of Country Defense, an officer with a Jewish affection and mannerism. He didn't have very good of a reputation with a group of messengers. In time to come, this fearless semi-officer to me was a dislikable superior, so it was that Hitler placed his IC first class into his pocket. I would be of use to him later because he was very serious about performing as an orator after the war. Then it came to strike by the munitions workers in the homeland. For Hitler, it meant that the international capital will be introduced to Germany and the internal goal of the Marxist deception of the masses will be accomplished. And the authors of this low scoundrel's trick are the candidates to higher positions in the revolutionary state. In November 1918, after being afflicted at the front with mustard gas, Hitler, afraid of losing sight, awkwardly walked around the Prussian Reserve Military Hospital and Pestalozzi Walk in Pomorn, as it is soldiers on trucks, and incited to a revolution. Among them were a few Jewish boys as leaders in the fight for freedom, beauty, and dignity, and for the well-being of our German people. None of them took part in a war campaign. At that stage of their roundabout way, those three Orientals went back to the homeland from the so-called Gonorrhea Military Hospital, and now are hoisting up the red flag within. An often cited phrase of Mein Kampf exactly reads like this: with Jews there is no agreement, but only firm yes or no, but I decided to become a politician. Politics and the battle against Judaism for Hitler were the two sides of the same coin. In general, what is right now will later follow from Hitler's heap of rubble. An observer must pick up something. For instance, during the war, France was a hereditary foe, but after the seizure of power, the German-speaking Alsace-Lorraine in his speeches was renounced forever. At an earliest opportunity, Hitler would like to acquire colonies, but again he stopped the long-lasting drive towards the South. At last, we ended the colonial and trade politics of pre-war time. Or the Soviet Union, for over a decade, it was regarded as the deadliest enemy. But at the conclusion of the 1939 pact made in Moscow, Hitler felt like being more or less among old fellow members of the party. Mixed Soviet SS Commission, in a beautiful harmony, sketched out 100-year settlements of farmers on the eastern soil, which 2 or 3 years later Norwegians, Swedes, and South Tyrolers would intensely Germanize. The Polish prey was brotherly divided, and Stalin to Hitler, even during the war, was an ingenious guy who doesn't let the Jews get the art. An endless string of pleasant speeches about the wedding of nationalism with social sense of justice had praised this first economic partner, who was of great importance than the USA, for it was not tormented by scruples as today the largest syndicate in the world, ITT, which feelings about socialist states need not be any explanation. Though the years praised by Hitler, the right of the people to be free and independent, was meant as rightful liberation of the Sudetenland Germans. And it was a message to the guy Chamberlain who had spoiled my entry into Prague. Half a year later, after the liberation, the foreign language-speaking Czechoslovakia vanished. Hitler, only about a single point, wasn't shaky and stubborn, like a Roman who at any opportunity swung his ceterum censeo, meaning Carthaginia must be destroyed. In the face of a competitive Semitic Carthaginian that the European Judaism in Europe is at a wrong place. Everybody once in life has to start from scratch, and that's where a career to the ready to serve Corporal Hitler as a professional politician began in Munich with the counting of excess laundry at the 2nd Bavarian Infantry Regiment. For Hitler, this genesis began again in the year began at the end of 1918 at Pestalozzi. The war comrade Schmidt had helped him too. One night when the corporal groaned in a pillow, "Back to the desert, all back to the desert," Schmidt shook him up and uttered, "What are you talking about, Adolf?" At the moment, the corporal turned over and kept on dreaming and talking. Bavaria, as the first German state, had become a republic. An Eastern Jew, Eisner, whose true name was Kosmanowski, nominated himself as prime minister with 18 marks in a pocket. The leaders of the Communist Soviet Republic of Bavaria were Russian Jews, Lewin, Levine, Nissen, and Tobias Axelrod. Their ruling comrade Landauer had declared, "Everybody works as they want. All subordination will be lifted, and the legal way of thinking about this will too." The Secretary of Foreign Affairs of the Republic wired to Moscow, quote, "Proletarians of the North Bavaria are joyfully united. We want peace as always," unquote. The telegram was intertwined with citations from Immanuel Kant's About Eternal Peace. Red Army was formed, which was joined by the released Russian prisoners of war. Later, a Democratic minister, Mueller Mining, made this comment, quote, "With soldiers coming home, scams, women, children moved along screaming and crying. Men without quality and martyrs were at large, robbers and murderers, among them the killers of women," Christoph. As it was ordered, Hitler stayed in the barracks with a red hand band on his arm, grinding his teeth, his hands tied, and with a feeling of sickness due to the whole situation. Prime Minister Eisner, an Eastern Jew in the street, was shot to death by Count Arco, a student of Western Jewish origin. Eisner's band stemmed from a racial Thule Orden, Inset, a secret society devoted to violent anti-Semitism. Thule means a mythical home of a German race, and were financed by Western Jews. Logan's brothers and several others, among them Professor Dr. Berger, also a Jew, headquarters of the Munich's National Forces, were located in a workroom of the Thule Club in the famous Hotel Four Seasons. The chairman, a Saxon named Adam Glauer, who called himself Freeman, Baron von Sebendorf, claimed the Thule people were the first to die for the swastika. In Berlin at the same time, Bernardowicz Sobolism from Galicia, who called himself Radek, tried to incite people into this Spartanatic leftist revolt, but it was suffocated in the Jewish blood by Karl Liebknecht and Rosa Luxemburg. In May 1919, the Soviet Republic of Bavaria, with the help of an outside military force under General von Oven, was driven away. The force consisted of a White Guard under the Army General von Oven, Volunteer Corps under Epp and Oberlin, and the Navy Brigade under Earnhardt. Munich's battalion, to which Hitler belonged, was mobilized but undecided. There, too, until then, still an unknown corporal of the First World War jumped into a chair and threw himself into politics. Quote, "Comrades, we are not revolutionary guards of the vagabond Jews. Sergeant Schussler is very right when he suggests to stay neutral. It was not necessary to say anything more, so the battalion stood by. When the White Guard moved into Munich, an investigative commission with Corporal Hitler was formed. It tracked down all those who were on the wrong side during the Soviets' time. His determined indictments removed the unspeakable infamy caused by the military treasons during the Jewish Soviet dictatorship. So people praised him. Hitler was taken over by Captain Karl May, a leader of the news services. As it is understood today, at this post, Hitler became the agent of counter-espionage services, for short, MAD. The training took place at the University of Munich. Professor Karl Alexander von Mueller recalled this event, quote, "A very fascinating small group gathered around a man who impetuously and with growing passion was persuading them with a rare guttural voice. I saw a pale face in the unsoldier with a hanging string of hair, a mustache cut short, and striking big, light blue, fantastically cold, shiny eyes," unquote. Mueller asked Captain May what did he know about this oratory talent. May knew a lot and sent his best man to Sternecker Inn, where in the evening of September 12, 1919, the Lovers' Room, one of the many political splinter groups, the German Workers' Working Party, meeting with 46 participants. Hitler listened to the long-lasting and boring, in his opinion, lecture on economics. But when Professor Baumann demanded separation of Bavaria from the state to Austria, Hitler woke up and he recalls, quote, "Then I couldn't help myself and had to tell this erudite lord my opinion." An expression of his opinion lasted 15 minutes and the secretarian fled in the middle of the lecture. Then the German Workers' Party leader and tool maker Anton Drexler whispered to the recording secretary, a locomotive driver sitting next to him, quote, "Man, he has a gob, and we should make use of it." Hitler could make use of this exhausted club with 7 marks and 50 pfennigs to their register, even though it was a mixture of the worst kind, he thought, a ridiculous little creation. However, it was possible to shape this club into a right format. Its contents and goals and its way could still be determined, which is impossible to do with the already existing large parties. This was the reason why Corporal Hitler joined the club of Anton Drexler. It extensively assembled colleagues from Munich's main workshop of the arterial motorway. As a profession, Hitler stated, a painter. Within a few weeks, thanks to his large gob, he became the chairman of the party's advertising section. In the barracks, Sergeant Schussler, later first manager of the NSDAP, took care of his correspondence. Here in Munich, in a short time, an anti-Jewish battle team was installed, and it grew because of the River Tsar and Soviet government of Russian Jews was very active. This, in effect, put an entire middle class into fear and shock. At that time, no other city of the German Reich could Hitler win the masses without any financial support. At the beginning, he punctuated his speeches with Yiddish, for he knew how to jabber. It's interesting, Hitler knew, we learned early on, he learned to speak Yiddish. Thus, the cheer he succeeded to. This is the international language of the Jewish Stock Exchange dictatorship. These people are united under the same origin, the same religion, the same language, and in one hand, they have all of them. Hitler could also be serious. In a very civil democratic union of Munich, after presentation by the Mayor Peterson of Hamburg, someone was known as a screamer, announced his wish to speak, and then that someone climbed up to the rostrum, put his hands in the pockets, and waited for a key word. Quote, "Hands out of your pockets," unquote, from below came as anticipated to the speaker's joy. So he stated, "Gentlemen, I don't belong to the people who talk with their hands. Present Jewish businessman." Silent and with bewilderment and thoughtfulness, listening to the calm demonstration which affected them very much. Quote, "I am able to talk," Hitler happily realized. The excitement of the audience was his achievement, and by this token it gave him the voice. He knew how to do variations, with which his young, excited Alp student yodeled, "I urge you, take a look at your health resorts. Today you will find 2 categories of people out there. The Germans who after a long wait, go there, or maybe are there for the first time to get some fresh air and to recover, and the Jews who go there to lose their fat or to go outing in the mountains. Whom do you think they're in a brand new magnificent yellow boots with nice black backpacks in which there is nothing important to find? And for what? They're only going into a hotel up there, mostly to point where the Alpine Railway ends. That's where they stop. That's where they're sitting around in the radius of 1 kilometer like blowflies around a carcass. Those people are truly not from our working class, neither from intellectual or physical one. Mostly you will find our people in ragged suits climbing up from the ground, mainly because they don't want to be embarrassed by their clothes made in 1913 to 1914, and in them enter a perfumed atmosphere." Captain May, who with time changed his orientation to a Democrat socialism, and who died at the end of the Second World War in a concentration camp, Buchenwald, was replaced by Captain Rome. "My name is Ernst," introduced himself Rome, sipping beer and then offering to the Corporal Hitler to call each other "you." Thus, Hitler entered a circle of officers and former leaders of the Volunteer Corps who appreciated him, even though at beers he didn't pay much attention to their past battle engagements in the Baltic states. That was the free. I forget the rest of the word. There were fresh battle engagements in the Baltic states, nor in the Oberschlein, nor about the German resistance against the 1923's French entry into the Ruhr industrial basin, as they were supposed to do. Hitler, a combat veteran, knew how to make up those late homecomers, and he did it with exciting speeches for 15 up to 50 marks per day. The criminal commissar Fiel reported about such meetings to his superiors as follows. Quote, "According to my personal view and my feelings, Hitler, with those adventurers from the Oberschlesien," I'm mispronouncing somebody's words, it's pretty obvious, "as it was the cause of the Jewish pogrom there, if nothing else, would become a leader of the Second Red Army like the one we had in 1919, just to commit robbery, murder, and plunder against the Jews." The Munich Post, under the title Jewish Rush, reported about one of those meetings in this way. Quote, "There appeared anti-Semitic middle-class people and young students accompanied by their parents or by other grown-ups. Mr. Adolf Hitler gave a speech and behaved more like a comedian. After every third sentence, he coupleted like presentation refrain, quote, Hebrews are guilty. One thing has to be recognized here. Mr. Hitler admitted that his speech was motivated by racial hatred. On February 24, 1920, the German Working Party became the National Socialist German Working Party, which soon was known all over the world as the NSDAP. Hitler and the party founder Drexler advised each other, quote, "Now comes a big jump into the general public," unquote, argued Drexler. "Yes, Tony, how do you want to achieve that?" asked Hitler. "By going to the banqueting hall of the Hofbräuhaus, Brewery Inn," was the response. Shortly therefore, red placards were put on display with the imprint, quote, "To the suffering people," unquote. With the admission to the hall for 40 pfennigs, it was filled up. About 2,000 people appeared. When Hitler, a second speaker, wanted to say a word, a brawl started. Finally, the speaker was accepted, but became timid, though the applause in the course of his speech was stormy. Hitler announced a program of the NSDAP consisting of 25 sections. 13 of them were directed against the Jews. Here are some excerpts. Quote, "No Jew can be a citizen, because it is impossible to feed all the people of the German nation. Hence, the members of a foreign nation should be expelled. All foreigners who migrated after August 2, 1914 into Germany will be forced to leave immediately. All war profits will be confiscated." Explaining the program, Hitler said, "The workers always have been told to migrate to Russia. Wouldn't it make more sense if the Eastern Jews were to stay there, where there is plenty of work to do? When it is necessary to take a couple of eggs away from a little hamster, then the government shows an astonishing energy. But it will not use it if the hamster's name is Hummelsberger or Isidor Bach, both Jews. First, the guilty ones, Jews, must go out. Then we will clean up ourselves. Next should go criminals, for instance, black marketeers, racketeers, or usurers, for finding them is no value." Then, at the conclusion of the meeting, a resolution was issued refusing the Israeli cultural community of Munich a special assignment of wheat flour for matzahs in the total amount of 40,000 quintals. Quote, "Because there is an insufficiency of bread for the 10,000 seriously sick people on the street." The resolution was accepted unanimously in a report about this first mass meeting of the just-created NSDAP. Hitler concluded, quote, "A fire was lit from the heat of which one day a word sword will come and will give back freedom to the Germanic German hero and life of the German nation. Next will also come elevation of the goddess of pitiless revenge because of the perjured act of November 9, 1918, unquote. Then the swastika, which for the first time a little choir boy encountered in the Lombach Seminary, the artistically inclined Hitler-designed party's flag and insignia. It found its place in the middle of the party's emblem. The wife of the dentist Krohn sewed up the first flag, and in May 1920, at the installation of NSDAP's town group of Starnberg, she decorated the rostrum in a circular. Hitler demanded, quote, "The party flags are to be put up high in all public meetings, halls, entrances, and so forth, and taken along during demonstrations. Party members everywhere and at all times are to wear a party insignia. Jews who will offend them will be arrested." Within the party, Hitler created the stormtroopers, in short called the SA. Their task was to protect the assembly room during the meetings. Leftovers of the Army Union, the Volunteer Corps, and of the residential militia, which were established during the Soviet time, rolled into the SA. Here is a police report about its first operation. Quote, "An assembly room was full. A man who called Mr. Hitler a monkey was taken out in calmness," unquote. Röhm, who, like Hitler, turned his back on the army, later became a very important leader of the SA and was actively engaged in the politics. In court, Hitler justified formation of the SA in this way, quote, "As of 1920, bombings of meetings and attacks on speakers have taken place. In response to this terror and for the sake of the meetings and protection of speakers as well as leaders, the security department are created from young party members. They call themselves stormtroopers." At that time, a chairman of the Bavarian Union, Ballerstedt, rendered separatist speeches and glorified France before heaven. Once he did this in Hitler's presence, who would rather be hanged in a Bolshevik Germany than be happy in a French Germany, unquote. So he jumped in front of the SA comrades and hit the man's face with a dog whip. For having done this, Hitler was imprisoned for 1 month in Munich jail Stadelheim. This occurrence naturally raised his prestige in the SA. As far as his way of living in prison was concerned, it was not any worse than the men's home of the compassionate brother monk at the Luftstrasse, where he once rented a sleeping spot. In order to be busy in the evening leisure time, the stormtroopers put up posters with this restriction, quote, "No access to the Jews," unquote, and tore down the existing posters of their enemies. In addition, they painted swastikas on the walls or over the enemy's slogans as they reciprocated with mutual respect. The specialty there was a physical testing of people who looked like Jews. In effect, a diplomat from South America was hurt unpleasantly when on a staircase they discovered he was circumcised. Having finished such a successful operations, the activity thirsty young men went home with a joyful song on their lips. Quote, "Throw them out, the entire Jewish gang. Throw them out of our country. Send them back to Jerusalem. There they must be among themselves with the tribe of Sem. Sem heißt sei raus aus unserem Dürm." Blah, blah, blah. I can't read. At the meeting, Hitler gave them the following orders, which in the eyes of SA fighters seemed to be unnecessary. Quote, "We should not converse with the Jews because they are strangers. Therefore, they have no right to interfere with our affairs, just as wouldn't a German meddle in the politics of a Jewish state of Palestine." And this last phrase was a beautiful dream which came true shortly after Hitler's death. An emphasis put on the partial Jewish origin of the agitator Hitler by opposing news media had lost its strength. Even the socialist Munich Post called by Hitler without any respect as a rat's spitbowl stopped its offensive remarks about Hitler's previous engagement to a daughter of an Eastern Jew who migrated from Galicia, Austrian Poland. However, because of that, there was a fighting in the Sternacker-Brau office of the NSDAP, into which one could get through a long, dark hallway, at the time still moderate as far as a battle with Judaism was concerned. In northern Germany sprouted the German Socialist Party. Some of Munich's party members strived for a merger with these people. Others demanded that the northern Germans dissolve their party and join the NSDAP unconditionally in groups or as one. Those in Munich who stuck to the democratic leadership of the party, which existed until summer of 21, saw themselves opposing others who wanted to see Hitler as the leader with dictatorial powers. The best horse of the NSDAP stable and the successful inspirer of masses took to travel. He stayed in Berlin for a few weeks, where he lived mostly in salons. When he returned to Munich, he found an opposing faction in effect. On July 11, 21, Hitler gave an explanation for his resignation from the NSDAP. "It is watered down and isn't able anymore to lead a battle for the destruction of the Jewish international forces in our country." The situation got serious, and the party became afraid that without its draft horse and best speaker, it will perish into nothing. Hitler demanded in writing an acceptance of his position as the first chairman with dictatorial authority. Party leadership agreed as follows: "In recognition of your extraordinary sacrifices in the interest of the movement, with only honorary rewards for your accomplishments, for your unique oratory talent, we are giving you dictatorial powers and welcome this cheerfully, if after returning to the party you will take over the position of first chairman." So Hitler's plan fruited, and on that day the National Socialist Movement, with its good intentions, became Hitler's movement against the Jews. The main goal of the destruction of capitalistic economic exploitation was from now on overshadowed by the goal of Jewish expulsion. And in charge of this was the Führer himself. Some people resigned from the party. Among them was a former sergeant in the Trick Regiment, Rudolf Schlüssler. He immediately moved from the party's office in Sterneckbrau into the Jewish Aufhauser Bank, where 6 years after Hitler's capture of power, he was still active. Well, let's see. I think that's about it for today, boys and girls. We're gradually getting... The whole thing is interesting, but do you see the interplay with half Jews and quarter Jews and good Jews and bad Jews is gradually cornering the Jews as one group, no matter what, and later to be shipping them out. So anyhow, I'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow will be Swing Blade or Ghost Wolf or Michael Myers or whatever you want to call him. He'll be back tomorrow. And then we'll continue on Monday with our reading. And it gets more exciting and more interesting as we go along in this book. Adolf Hitler, the Father of Israel. Yeah, 14:5, and keep your pie holes shut, and watch out for those Jews who do it.